when we were sitting on the ground, right? We were sitting on the ground. Plundering. Lord, save us. Have mercy on us, God. And now we come to chapter 4. Here, we can see again, in this chapter, God revealed something wonderful. His restoration, his work of restoration. And in that day, let's read chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. Wonderful. This will also occur. Amen. Such a wonderful vision. Our God is full of wisdom. And he's so balanced. He's not just judgment, 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 and nothing positive. Also not just positive, 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 without judgment. Can we do that? I don't think that we can. We'll either be only judgment, judgment, and more judgment, and or everything's just good, no judgment, just love, love, and tolerate everything. That's how we are. But praise the Lord. God is a wonderful God. We have to see both sides. Otherwise, we will have problems in the end. After such a judgment and strong words that the Lord spoke, and it's not even strong enough, that which is strong is going to still come. We're just in chapter 4. But the most beautiful part will also still come. So God is very wise. We have to know this wonderful God. His wisdom is without limit. Limitless. And he has such a wrath that he spoke in such, to such a condition, yet he still gave us such a wonderful vision, an encouragement, an assurance that if we endure and persevere to the end, we will see his glory and we'll see its fulfillment. There is no reason to become frustrated by everything that we have gone through. The Lord did not promise that everything would be smooth, smooth sailing. Do you love Psalm 23? We love the first few verses. The green pastures, the still waters. Isn't that wonderful and good? But then it says, go through the valley of death. He will lead us through the valley of death. Do you love that? Would you rather lie on the green pastures and remain there and stay by the still waters? Isn't that much better? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Do you like that? I don't think so. But, you know, brothers and sisters, we have to learn to treasure this. Otherwise, we will not grow in life. We will not come to maturity. But the Lord doesn't let us go through these things alone, but He goes with us. He even leads us through them. Especially you brothers here, in the last times, you've really experienced this. Maybe you have so many questions. Why? Why? We didn't expect this. There are so many explanations. You have to know one thing. The Lord led you through. It is the leading of the Lord. What do you think? It is such a gain that you went through such an experience. Maybe you don't recognize that today, but much later when you look back, you will not just murmur, you won't ask, oh, why? It's not my fault. Today, we might have many reasons, but later when you look back and see what the Lord attained with you, then you will thank and praise the Lord that it occurred in such a way. And you will say, oh, I cannot lay any worth or amount of price on this kind of an experience. Peter will say, do you remember, Toby? Of course, Toby will say. You know, through all these years, I tell you through to the glory of the Lord, there's no bitterness in my heart. Really. Ask my wife. Many times I said, we don't have to have any bitterness in our heart. We have gained so much. The Lord said, blessed are those who had smooth sailing, where everything went smoothly and no problems. No, He said, who were persecuted for His name and who suffered for His name. Instead of complaining, we have to give thanks. Yes. Then you will have no bitterness in your heart. Otherwise, this time will be full of bitterness in your hearts. A bitter year. But it should be the sweetest year. Amen, Philip. Praise the Lord. It depends on what we see. Then we have to say, blessed are we. please. Oh, you see, he's laughing now. Isn't it nice to laugh? Praise the Lord. In that day, there was terrible judgment. But praise the Lord, at the same time, we can see from the prophets, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Then we learn to treasure this wonderful Christ, His wisdom, His ways. We learn to treasure His ways. It's no wonder that Paul said in Romans 8, everything is serves for good, works together for good. What is everything or all things? That means everything. Whether it's good or whether it's a bad experience. And where do you gain more? In good experiences where everything is so good and there's no problems? Or difficult, terrible experiences? Which ones do you prefer? You see, we also caught him. He doesn't mean everything or all things. We want to choose what fits us better. And if there are so many difficulties and problems, we don't like it. We don't want to see it or experience it. This is how we are. But gradually we will see, my, our Lord is so wonderful. In the end, Paul said, oh, what a wisdom. Who can know his ways? He is our counselor. Who can tell him what's better? And this is how we have to know this wonderful God. And praise the Lord, the branch of the Lord. So wonderful. The branch is something that came out of the earth. As it says in Isaiah 53, it came out, came forth, and grew out of the earth. It's not so beautiful. He had no beauty. He had nothing that would draw man in a natural way. That's why everyone despised him. What would you rather have? To be praised, Christian? Or would you rather be despised? Nine. I didn't hear what he said. I'd rather be despised. No. If your wife criticizes you a little, then something comes up. You feel a thorn. Right? If it's about teaching, of course, we say we would rather be despised, but it's not so easy to say that. None of us wants to be despised. We want to be exalted, respected. But you know, if someone respects you, especially in the house of the Lord, they don't mean they don't have your best in interest. It's a curse for you. They want to tear you down and pull you down. This is why in the church we have to learn not to praise anyone, not to praise anyone. We should not do that. It will damage. It will serve to his damage. And also don't receive any praise. We all have to learn this. not just to not praise others, but also for yourself, don't receive any praise from other people. If we receive praise from people today, then the Lord will tell you when he comes back, you already lost your reward. You already received your reward. This is a very basic thing we need to know and learn in the house of the Lord. That is a sickness of fallen man. We all have to learn this. As Jesus was on this earth, the people wanted to make him king. What did he do? He disappeared suddenly. Suddenly he was invisible and he escaped from their midst. Mujang, if we wanted to make you king, we need a leader in the church. Come, Mujang. We'll make you a bishop. Then you're going to flee away as quick as possible. Not with Lufthansa, that's too slow before you take off. You want a rocket. Disappear. Do you think this is a joke? This is a lesson we all have to learn. Really so, dear saints. Now is not the time to be respected. But in that day, even the Lord, in that day, the branch of the Lord, the Messiah, thank you, he is beautiful and glorious. That's very different from his first coming. Esteemed. He will also be the fruit of the earth. The fruit of the earth here doesn't mean the fruit of the good land. No, that's not the Lord. He is the branch as well as the fruit. A wonderful fruit. Praise the Lord. And we are learning today to bring the first fruits of our experience of Christ to the Father. That is good. Right? If we do not prepare these offerings and learn to bear fruit or to bring fruit, to be diligent to bear fruit, we will not have this wonderful experience when the Lord returns. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing, especially for those who have escaped, those of Israel who have escaped. There are not many who have escaped. Many were captured in captivity, sitting on the ground there. Only a few were escaped. You are the escapees, or those who escaped. That means, my goodness, it's not so easy. It's not easy to escape. The enemy and many things want to keep us there and destroy us. But praise the Lord for this expression here. For those of Israel who have escaped. Don't remain captured, or don't be captured in any kind of things. In the Songs of the Ascents, it says, we're as the birds who have escaped the snares of the snare of the fowlers. I hope you haven't forgotten this. Those who have escaped. Wonderful. In the last 50 years, dear saints, it's so wonderful to escape. Not from the traps of the enemy. Don't be drawn in by money or support or with praise or with position. In the end, you will be in the prison, in the trap. You won't be able to escape. Escape. Amen. We praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord for those of Israel who have escaped. And verse 3, it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, wonderful, not very many, but praise the Lord, there's a remnant. Those who are left. It's wonderful. Actually, the Lord doesn't need so many. I always treasure the story of Gideon. From about 30,000 in an army, the Lord said, too much. Too much? Okay. And the Lord, there were just 20,000. Still too much? It was reduced to 10,000, 5,000. The Lord said, what? Still so many? We don't need. In the end, how many were left? 300. Then the Lord said, okay. That's enough. Would you like to go to a fight or to a war with just 300 soldiers? You know, but these 300 are courageous. They're obedient. Gideon told them what they had to do. They just had to make a few sounds. Bang, 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 bang. If I were there, I would look at Gideon. What? Do you still have your mind? Are you ready to listen to a seemingly crazy command? I don't think so. I would say, bye, Gideon. You have 299 people. I'm going to go home now. The Lord needs those who really obey and follow him, who hear his voice. Obedient to God, being obedient to God is much better than doing many things for God. What did Samuel say to Saul? Rebellion is worse than sorcery, witchcraft. Then we have to understand him, understand the living God. So for those who were left in Zion, many people don't want to remain in Zion. In one conference, I spoke about what Zion means. Do you remember what Zion means? A burnt, dry, parched land. Sometimes in California, in summer, the whole hill is burnt and you don't see anything, just black and brown. and try. Would you like to take a vacation there? Yeah, I'll invite you to California, to such a brown hill, and then I'll bring you there and let's take a vacation. No one wants to go there. No one. At that time, I asked the Lord, why did you pick this name? I thought Zion should have a wonderful meaning. So I looked it up. What? A dry, parched land? That can't be. I didn't believe it. Maybe that was a mistake. Let me continue to search. And I didn't find any better meaning. I told the Lord, why? Why would you pick such a name? But now I understand. For the natural eyes, for people who want something else, when they look at Zion, look at us, they'll say, that's nothing. It's not attractive. It's nothing. What do we have here in the church? Zion. Doesn't it look like nothing? It's parched. We have no choir. We have no pastor. We have nothing. What do we have, they? What do they have? I haven't visited in a long time. They have so many things. And we, what do we have? What attracts you here in Zion? Why are you still here? Give me a good reason to stay here. You saw something that we cannot describe. It's very difficult to describe. You can't explain what you have here. Right? Uwe, what attracts you to come here? Something that's lovely? What's so lovely here? Lovely, lieblich, lovely. It is this mystery of our Lord. And we have to have spiritual eyes to see. The spirit has to be awakened. As Paul prayed, open the eyes of your hearts. May he grant you wisdom and revelation to see him. Right? How can we enjoy Isaiah if we don't see him? So here, those who remained, those who were left, they had to be those who saw something. Why are you so crazy? You could have gone anywhere else. You could make a movie, a young man with a great future. What are you doing here? He can't explain why he's here. I can't either, but that doesn't matter. We just know that there's something here, but we can't describe it. That's right. So one day, if you can describe it, maybe you'll almost be gone. Because it's not something that we can touch with our hands. You see something. This wonderful Christ, whom we can't describe. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Praise the Lord. A holy city. He isn't looking for talent, the Lord is not looking how capable you are, how good you can preach the gospel, how well you can preach it, or how many people you can gain. That is nothing for God. All those things are nothing for God. That does not mean we shouldn't preach the gospel anymore, but what God desires is a holy people. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of the world, God chose us that we should be holy and with blameless before Him in love. God is holy. A holy city. A holy city. And remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. O Lord. That means we partake of His divine nature in truth and in reality. Because holiness is His nature. That's His being. So wonderful. That's why Hebrew 12 says, pursue holiness, without which no one can see God. For God, holiness is more important than any other thing. Amen. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. That means if I am not holy, I will not be recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Holiness and life goes together because it's the life of God. Today, people speak so much about life, but not about holiness. What kind of a life are we leading? That's why don't say life, life, life so often. We're here for life. But then you can't describe this life. What is this life of which you speak? This life is God's life Himself. And it is a holy life. This word, we cannot forget this word. Zion, Jerusalem, is a holy city. Verse 4. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by His precious blood. Is that right? No. Are you sure? We only know the cleansing by the blood. Of course, this is necessary as well. But it is only an outward cleansing. But if our soul is not ready to work together with the life of the Lord for transformation so that we would be conformed to the image of the firstborn. That is why we have to enjoy His humanity today. Experience it. Be diligent to gain it. If we don't do that, then it has to go through judgment and burning, that everything would be put away. Oh, Lord. That's why it says here, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by what? By the Spirit of life? spirit of judgment. And by the spirit of burning. Praise the Lord. Today, there's a little bit of judgment, but burning, fire will come later. That's why the Lord said in 1 Corinthians 3, if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, in that day, the day of the Lord will come, and you go through fire, everything will be revealed. So the burning, thank you, you won't experience it today, but judgment, he will start and begin today. How often do you tell the Lord, Lord, judge me now? You'll still learn that. If you stay here a long time, you'll learn that. The judgment of the Lord is for our salvation and for our healing today. And it's not too difficult. It comes together with his grace. But when he returns, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment there will be hard and without grace. It's just the pure righteousness of the Lord, and you will pay. Yes. That's why it's better to say, Lord, I confess. Please judge me today. Praise the Lord. By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. So wonderful. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies, of course with us, with whom else, a cloud and smoke by day. That reminds you of his presence when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And a smoke by day, which is glorious. And the shining of a flaming fire by night. Wonderful. This is what we need. The Lord is there with us. His glory is like a cloud by day and a flame of fire and shining by night. So wonderful. For over all the glory, there will be a covering. Unfortunately, not today. We don't have a covering. But in that day, in the 1,000-year kingdom, when the Lord comes, when this house, for example, the temple that we saw at the end of Ezekiel, when that temple is built, praise the Lord, then we will experience this wonderful thing. Amen. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And here we can see why the Jews speak concerning the building of the third temple, which is the third temple described in Ezekiel, which some people don't have any desire to look at. But you have to know, every earthly building of the Lord, every building of the Lord, whether it was Noah's Ark or the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple of Solomon that Solomon built, or even this coming temple in Ezekiel. They all are a shadow of the heavenly reality. The tabernacle in the wilderness was according to the pattern which was shown to Moses. And today, the Lord is building the real tabernacle. Praise the Lord. Jerusalem. There is a new and a heavenly Jerusalem. For us, it is a wonderful reality of the building. Our building today is not a material building. We're not building a meeting hall. It's also good that you don't have a meeting hall. When Jesus was on this earth, he didn't even have a pillow. He did not know where he should sleep. What did he say? The foxes have their holes, and the sparrows have their nest. But the Son of Man has a palace? And no place to rest his head. Why? Why should we build something we can just rent? Just a tabernacle or hut. A booth. Wonderful. But when the Lord comes, we will see his glorious building, not built by man, not by man's hands, not of this creation, but something heavenly. Only the Lord could finish this building, build it. Chapter 5. Or should we wait till tomorrow? Well, maybe you can just have fellowship amongst yourself. Otherwise, you sit too long. Praise the Lord. We also have to empathize with people. So we'll finish here. It's good to finish with a positive note. Amen. Praise the Lord for those who have escaped.